On Friday's page one, the Arab world's emerging debate pits Islamists against themselves. Banks are adding fees for debit card customers. We'll look at how much and why. And studying people's moods by studying what they say on Twitter. Scientists say users' emotions follow a pattern day in and day out. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says Islamists are becoming the new and potentially dominant political force in the Arab world. They're gearing up for election campaigns in Tunisia and Egypt, but Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick tells us they're divided over their goals and even their identity.
On the one hand, you see Ennahda, the Islamic party in Tunisia, saying they no longer want to use that name to describe themselves because they stand for a brand of Islamic politics that is much more liberal, if you will, accepting of a durable constitutional democracy, whether they're in power or not, and predicated on a high degree of tolerance and respect for individual liberties. They're following in the footsteps of the Turkish Islamists led by their Prime Minister Erdogan. Against that, you see at least a faction of the Muslim Brotherhood saying, no, we stand for something, and that is a state which is Islamic in character. And these new battles pitting one set of Islamists against another, the more liberal against the more puritanical, may even be replacing the old battle lines between Islamists on the one side and secularists on the other.
Times correspondent David D. Kirkpatrick. Also on Friday's page one, President Obama's support among blue-collar voters is lower than it is among white-collar independents. Times reporter Jackie Combs says he's redrawing the map as the campaign approaches.
For as long as I can remember, the route for Democrats to win the White House has taken them right through the industrial Midwest, and particularly Ohio. It's sort of been the must-win bellwether state. But given where the economy is and unemployment high, a lot of those states are in question for Mr. Obama next year. So you can see in his recent travels, he's sort of mapping alternative routes, and they're taking him through the Rocky Mountain West and into the South, where, you know, Democrats used to almost never go. But for the long term, Democrats are likely to be competitive from now on in states where the demographics are changing to their favor because of the independent voters who are higher educated, higher income, and the influx of minority voters, making these states more diverse and more favorable to Democrats.
Times reporter Jackie Combs in Washington. Friday's Times says banks are adding fees for debit card customers. Bank of America is the latest to go that route. It's adding a $5 monthly fee for making debit card purchases. Wells Fargo is trying a $3 fee in some states. The banks are moving to offset losses from the new financial overhaul legislation. Wells Fargo alone is estimating it'll lose $1 billion a year. The money in question comes from swipes. The new law limits how much banks can charge merchants when a cardholder swipes his or her card. The limit used to be 44 cents per swipe. On Saturday, it drops to 21. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and the state's two senators really don't get along. In the last year, the relationship between Christie and Senator Frank Lautenberg in particular has deteriorated into a series of insults and accusations. Christie called Lautenberg out of touch and partisan. Lautenberg called Christie the king of liars.
Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. You better chase all your cares away. Shout hallelujah, come on, get happy. Get ready.
Well, that's one way to get happy. Scientists found another. They studied millions of Twitter messages for clues to people's emotions. They found a pattern through the day and also through the week. Positive posts crest around breakfast time. They fall off gradually, and they hit a low between 3 and 4 p.m. By bedtime, they pick up again. People's moods were lowest on Monday afternoons. They got happier as the weekend got closer. In baseball, the postseason opens on Friday with games in the Bronx and in Arlington, Texas. Sports columnist Tyler Kepner says baseball needed a day off on Thursday just to process the season that finally ended at 12:05 a.m. It happened when Evan Longoria hit a 12th-inning homer, clinching a wild-card spot for the Tampa Bay Rays and eliminating the Boston Red Sox. Inside Friday's Times, it's the government version of a garage sale. The White House figures that selling off unneeded federal holdings could bring in $22 billion. A lot of the money would come from auctioning off airwaves now used for broadcast television, but the administration also wants to sell an airstrip here and an island there. Pro-government Syrians trapped a U.S. diplomatic delegation inside an office building for 90 minutes. They also tried to attack the motorcade on the way there. The diplomats were going to a meeting with a key opposition figure. Ambassador Robert Ford, who's been an outspoken critic of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad, was reported safe. The U.S. protested the episode and said Syrian security forces had been slow to come to the rescue. A court in Bahrain sentenced a protester to death for killing a police officer during the unrest in March. The court is also sending medical workers to prison for treating prisoners. More than a dozen doctors at one hospital got 15-year sentences. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.